But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You see, the Apostle Paul was asked these questions because there were people struggling with this issue of death. And what happens after you die? However, Scripture does tell us what is to come. And so today, that's what I want to look at. I'd like you to take your Scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Talks about our hope. Talks about that resurrection. I went to a memorial service yesterday for Ann Kalasnik, and she was at one time her husband, and she were once the pastor's wife here at Calvary Baptist Church. And homegoing, and yet, you know, it's always a glorious time when a saint, someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, when they go home, we know that there's a hope. And yet, that was the struggle here that the Corinthians were having, even though they were some years, about 20 years after the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, they were asking questions. You can see it here in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 35. It says this, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You see, the Apostle Paul was asked these questions because there were people struggling with this issue of death. And what happens after you die? You know, and they were influenced by their culture. I mean, culture can really affect our thinking. And they had Gnostic teaching that was coming in, and they were saying that the body was evil, and so why in the world would they resurrect something that was evil and the spirit was the only thing that was good? And that was beginning to come in at that time. It wasn't full-blown, but it was affecting the thinking of the people. Paganism, of course, was coming. Even within paganism, they believed in a spiritual resurrection of some sort or a spiritual afterlife, but not the resurrection of the body. You know, as a young man, as I went to church, I was raised in a traditional mainline church, and we recited every week the Apostles' Creed, and it would end this way. I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. It was just an affirmation of faith. It was an old affirmation that the church had. And it was just affirming that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Strange, you know, how our culture affects us, though. There was a survey done. About 30% of Americans believe not in the resurrection, but what they believe in is the reincarnation of the soul. In other words, the idea, if you don't know what reincarnation is, it's the purpose of reincarnation is to gradually purify one's soul that eventually reaches perfection. And so you have life after 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 life. So eventually, at some point in time, if you ever get there, you know, this purifying of the soul. The problem is, though, when you get into the next life, you have no idea what you did in the former life to fix what you did in the former life in the next life. And then it has nothing to do with Scripture. And so what is harder to understand is, though, that 20% of those that are born again that are part of the evangelical movement in our country today believe in reincarnation. That totally goes in conflict with what the Gospels say. And then even more, if we look at a little more at American life and this influence of our culture today, two-thirds of people, though they may believe in America, believe in a resurrection, they do not believe that the body is resurrected. You know, that's self-contradictory. I mean, then what is resurrected? You know, and so we as an American people have been so secularized and so driven far away from the Scriptures, it's important that we come back and we really look, what in the world does God's Word say? Now, there's a couple of things that we do know. You keep your finger, because we're going to stay in this passage here. This will be our text. But just to look at another verse, I just want you to go forward to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The reason why I had you turn here, because we know what happens when a person dies. You know, when physical death occurs, the spirit is separated from this physical body. At death, the believer's body is committed to the grave, and that his soul and spirit go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it here in verse 8, just so you can see it. That's why I had you turn here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "We are confident." Now, notice, the Apostle Paul is preaching this, and he's preaching to the people there at Corinth, and he says, "We're confident of this thing." He says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord." And so once you are absent from this body goes into the ground, into the grave. You, that person, your spirit, goes into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the end of all things, but at least we know that after death, that is what does take place. Now, there's other passages, but, you know, I'm going to take you back to our context again. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you haven't noticed, we have a body that is decaying and dying. It's affected by something that we call is sin. It's why when you get up and you have all those infomercials, you ever notice the infomercial and they say, "We can solve your wrinkle problem." And then they have this young 20-year-old coming in and putting it on. "See, she has no wrinkles." Well, of course, you know, 20-year-old, you don't have wrinkles usually. And, you know, we can mask, you know, these wrinkles, and we can mask, you know, the decaying that takes place in our life for a time. However, we know that it's only temporary because the afflictions that come because of sin in our bodies are affected. And I know a lot of people don't care what happens to the body after this life. And so all they're interested in is taking enough aspirin and enough duct tape on their lives to keep it together so it'll function until that time. But Scripture, Ray has a lot of duct tape. However, Scripture does tell us what is to come. And so today that's what I want to look at. And so I want you to look at verse 35. I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to read the first answer to the question of verse 36. Verse 35. "For some men will say, 'How are the dead raised up?'" Drop down to verse 36. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." The idea is death is necessary before we have the resurrection. In fact, if you have your little insert here, you can even write the answers on the back of this. Because just so you know, and your first little fill-in there is the new body is real. I want you to know that this new glorified body for the believer is real. However, it necessitates, according to verse 36, it necessitates that the dead, we got to die first. I wanted to get a seed. You know how hard it is in the wintertime to get a seed. I didn't have time to run down to a drugstore. I mean, a little like Seraphim's or hardware store where they have all those packets of seeds. But I think you can imagine along with me what a seed looks like. You can have a seed that's sitting on your counter all day, all week, next year, and nothing's going to happen unless you put the seed into the ground. Amazing thing happens. Nothing happens when it's sitting out, but when you put it in the ground and you water it a little bit, that seed instantly begins to break down, and then all of a sudden it starts growing roots and starts propping up, and it comes a different body. Isn't that cool when you see that? Your body is but a seed. It's got to die first before you're going to get this new incorruptible body. But the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 36 that it's going to happen. But he says in verse 36, he says, "That which you sowest is not quickened or is not made alive except it first die." Except it die. says it. It just seems obvious. For the resurrection to happen, for this new body that we're going to get, you're going to have to die. And when you die, body goes into the ground or becomes one of the part of the elements of this earth again. He goes on and he begins to explain a little more in verse 37 and verse 38. As he's still under this new body, which is real. No, notice what he says in verse 37. He says, "And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be." In other words, that what you put into the ground, like in that pumpkin seed I put into the ground. You know, my pumpkin seed is usually white. You ever have a pumpkin seed? When I put it into the ground, it comes out, and then this green vine comes out of kind of, you know how they go and they spread out over the earth. Take a lot of space in the garden. And then all of a sudden, the fruit comes at the end of it, and you have this orange little, it starts off green first, this green little pumpkin kind of, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden it starts turning orange. Does that look anything like the seed? No. It's different. Still the same seed. But when it's planted in the ground and it dies and then it comes up again, nature shows us what all this is about. And so he goes and he says this in verse 37 again. He says, "That which you sow, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleased him. And to every seed his own." In other words, after every seed, you know, there is, you know, and after every sector, every group, the animal group, the vegetal group, as well as the human, you know, we have this own genetic thing, and so after their own kind. And he says, so when you put that seed into the ground, a pumpkin seed comes up a pumpkin. A wheat seed comes up wheat. A corn seed comes up corn. Yeah, ever notice that? I mean, and that's what he's arguing. He says, now in nature we have the sample of these things. And so he just illustrates this in all of nature. And this resurrected body, listen, this is a real thing that is going to take place. We see the blueprint of our glorified bodies in the body that we now possess, though. Now, I'm going to talk more of this. But this body that you see, this Craig Scott, someday you're going to be able to recognize. Hopefully a little slimmer. But you'll recognize them, you know. And but it's just a blueprint, but it's going to be the same, but it's also going to be different. It's going to be glorified. So we'll get to that in a moment. I like what Johnny Erickson taught us. Some of you know who she is. She was a young lady who in a diving accident, you know, became a quadriplegic. And so all her life, you know, from that point onward, she's been a quadriplegic. And she says this, "Somewhere in my broken, paralyzed body, a seed of what I shall become. The paralysis makes what I am to become all the more grand when you contrast this atrophied, useless legs against this stupendous resurrection of my body. With new legs and new arms that work." I mean, so she says it's going to be, you know, it's just magnified even more as she has this paralyzed body in the resurrected body. It's going to be even better than you can imagine. Not only will I have legs and arms that are going to work, but it's going to be this glorified body as well. I think another way you can say this, you know, when I got saved, before I was saved, I was Craig Scott. I didn't look too much different than what I do today. But I'll tell you what, there was a change, definite change, because of what Christ had done in my life. And hopefully, you know, some people, they say, yeah, I knew Craig Scott before. Boy, I'll tell you what. Hopefully they see Craig Scott a little different now because of what Christ has done. Well, there's another change coming to Craig Scott. When this body goes into the ground, and I receive the new body, it's going to be a glorified body. And amazing, when it's the glorified body, it is even going to be better than what it is today. And so the first thing, Paul's arguing, he says, there's a glorified body, and it's real Second thing he says here, you can see, and there's your little fill-in, this is the second one, the new body is going to be recognizable. We just kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want you to see, because that is, if there's a question that people have asked, is will I know my loved ones when I see them? And so I think one of the examples that helps us is Jesus in his resurrected body. You know, we had that 40-day period after he rose from the grave, and then he appeared to his disciples. You know what? They recognized him. Kind of cool. You know, and so we have a little distinction that if we can recognize the Lord in his resurrected body, it is most likely that we're going to be recognized as well. You know, as Jesus walked the earth in this body during those 40 days, not only is he recognized, but he was also different. He was glorified. You know, the differences that took place is now they say, oh, that's the Lord. But, you know, he didn't walk through the door. He disappeared. And then he disappeared and he was in another spot. And then he came back again. And so, you know, we know there are the same, but there's some also differences that comes along with this glorified body. Not only that, we know that the Lord recognized his disciples. He knew who they were. And so if we're going to be like Christ, and it says that we shall be as he is, you know, then there will be recognition that's going to take place. Third thing, a third little fill-in. The new body is going to be radically different. It's going to be the same, but it's also going to be different. So that's the good news for some of us, you know, because some of us aren't satisfied with what we have today. You know, push it in a little bit in the waistline and all the others. Hopefully some things will be different in those times. He says this again. I want you to look at verse 35. It's the second question of verse 35. He says, but some men will say, and then I'm going to skip, with what body do they come? Now he begins to answer that second question beginning in verse 42. And he tells what kind of body it's going to come. So this is good news. So if you're saved today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to tell you what you're going to look like. It's going to cool the things that he begins to talk about. Look at verse 42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. And so we have a marvelous thing that took place here is that this body that is corrupt is going to be sown in corruption because let me tell you how many, you know, you're still, even as saved individuals, your sin has been taken care of, you know, that thing of the flesh. Well, it's going to be sown. It's going to be sown in the ground. But when it comes up, it's going to be incorruptible. And what he means by incorruptible, your little fill in here, it will be indestructible. You're going to have an eternal body. That is really exciting. Indestructible. Our current body wears out. And if you haven't noticed it, well, wait, you'll notice it. And you know, they have that phrase that says, what does not hurt does not work, you know. And some of you know what that is, too. You know, you'll discover, you know, that those things are true, but this new body that you're going to have is going to be incorruptible. Boy, I like that. It's not going to be affected by the things of sin and all the other degradations that we face in our day. He tells us the second thing in verse 43. He says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. And so our body, you know, literally is sown in this dishonor, in this corruption that we have and the sinful issues that are around us. But when it is raised, it's going to be glorious. And I'm going to give you what the Greek word says about glorious. The word glory means brilliant or bright. Our new body is going to be glorious and it's going to be brilliant in some way because it's going to be clothed in righteousness in that day. What a marvelous thing, this glory. It's, in fact, keep your finger here. I just want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He kind of gives us a little bit more of a snapshot here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. He's talking about this glorified body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, he says this. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? But it's going to be fashioned like his glorious body. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be glorious when we have it. So, I mean, you have your body now. I'll tell you, when it dies and goes into the ground, it's going to come up a brand new body. And then not only is it going to come back a brand new body, but it is also going to be a glorious body. Now, I want you to understand, your body changes every 7 years. What you were 7 years ago, today you are totally new. Because, you know, your cell reproduction and keeps on going. Your cells die, and every 7 years they're replaced. And so, you know, some of you are saying, well, you understand, even in this new body that we have, it's going to be the same as we have. You're the same as you were 7 years ago, for the most part, except you have all new cells. Well, you're going to have this glorious body, and it's going to be the same, but it's also going to be glorious. That's how God, He brings it all together. It doesn't have to be if you've been scattered across the earth and blown up in some kind of bomb and liquefied. God is still going to be able to bring all those elements together. I mean, that's no more greater miracle than all creation. That's no more greater miracle than bringing someone who's dead alive. We have a God who can do all this. And when He brings it all back together, I'll tell you why. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be the same, but better. And it's going to be incorruptible. He goes and he says, it's not just that in verse 43. I want you to see the second part of verse 43. He says this. It is sown in weakness. You live long enough, you know how weak your body is. I'll never forget my grandfather. He died of Luke Erickson's disease. And in the end of his life, as he was getting weaker, he was caring for my grandmother who had a severe rheumatoid arthritis, and she was deformed as a result of this. And so he did everything, and it got more and more difficult. And my father was called to go over to help my grandfather move. So he says, Larry, I can't move the couch. Come and help me move the couch. And so my father's thinking, you know, my grandfather was strong. I mean, his job that he had in the paint factory was shoveling the coal to keep the coal furnaces going so they'd keep the paints that were operational. I mean, my grandfather was one of the strongest men that I knew. Well, here in the end of his life, my father goes over there to move what he thought was going to be this heavy couch. And it was featherweight, and my grandfather could not move it. See, this is what happens. Our body gets weak. But notice the last part here in verse 33. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. The new body that we have is going to be powerful. It's going to have abilities beyond anything what we can imagine now. Now, I know if we were to go to like John chapter 20, you know, we find that Jesus showed up in the room and he appeared and disappeared. Now, I know that is our resurrected Savior. And I know that He is unique because He is the Christ and He's the Son of the living God. I'm not sure if you're going to have all that ability. But I'll tell you what, it will be glorious and it will be powerful. And you'll be able to do things that you never dreamed of being able to do. Boy, I look forward to that. It's going to be the ability so that you're going to be able to explore all the creation that our Heavenly Father has created. That's pretty big. You think how immense this universe is. And He wants you to explore and to know His greatness and His immensity and His power and His presence and His love. He will give you that ability to be able to do this in your glorified body. Fourth thing that you'll have, it's indestructible, it's glorious, it's powerful. And the fourth thing, it will be infinite. Verse 44, notice what it says. It is sown a natural body. That's what we have right now, this natural body. It's what I was naturally born with. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, I want you to understand when I say it's a spiritual body, you're not going to be raised a ghost. Some people say, whoa, you're going to raise the ghost. No. Because when Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, he was a spiritual body. He physically ate food. He was able to be touched. That's not a ghost. It's a glorified body. That's why it's called spiritual, because it's spiritual because now you're no longer encumbered with sin. Now, because fully redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to go into the very presence of the Heavenly Father and not only be unique in the physical realms, but also in the spiritual realms. This is a spiritual body because you'll be able to dwell in both as heaven and earth become one in that end time. And so that's what he's talking about here in this marvelous passage that we have. In fact, R.A. Torrey, I like what he says. He was a great preacher and teacher in the past. He says, we will not be disembodied spirits in the world to come, but redeemed spirits in redeemed bodies in a redeemed universe. One last thing I want you to see in this passage here. It's talking about this new body, and this new body is going to be received at Christ's return. It's when it's going to take place. You want to know the timing of this thing. Verse 51, notice what it says here. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Well, that's the good news. That's what we're talking about, this change that comes from this natural realms to the spiritual realms. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, some people aren't going to die. There's going to be this rapture that's going to take place. And we'll talk about that at another time. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So we know those that have died, they're going to be raised and they're going to be given this glorified body, incorruptible. And then he also says, and we shall be changed. So those that are alive, when that time comes, when the Lord comes back for his church, we'll also be taken up. First, those that have died, and then we, second, will be following. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He expounds on this a little bit more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says this in verse 16. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So this is the time the Lord's coming back. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So this is the timing when this is going to take place. You know, for example, Ann Kolasnik, as she passed away this past week, and she was, her body was put into the ground. Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Now she's with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. However, she's going to get her glorified body at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And boy, when that takes place, at the sound of that trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, can you imagine what that will be like? And the saints receive their glorified body when we're coming back with him. Marvelous. And then he says this in verse 16. He says, verse 17, then we shall be alive and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a tremendous hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I know Ben Franklin. I know many things have been said about Ben Franklin. They said he was a deist. But it was very interesting what he wrote, actually put on his tombstone. Because he was a man who read the scriptures. He was a man who knew the scriptures. He said this. He says, the body of Ben Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author. He believed there's a resurrection, and he believed that though his body corrupted in this ground, that he will receive this glorified body one day because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. So this new body's real. It's recognizable. It one day will be radically different, and that's the good news. Indestructible, glorious, powerful, as well as infinite. And it's going to take place at the time the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That's for the believer. It's different for the unbeliever. You understand that? The unbeliever will be raised again. The unbeliever will be raised and given a body. But in torment, it will be cast, and eternity, it will be separated from God forever and ever and ever, and eternal torment. That's not a good scenario at all. So yes, we will go up into, we'll be in heaven's glory with the Lord Jesus Christ in this glorified body, but those that have rejected Jesus Christ will be raised again at the white throne judgment in that last day and then cast into the lake of fire. What a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Which leads us to the very simple thing. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that fate won't face you. You have the hope of eternal life in this glorified body and everything else. Your sins have been taken away. And that is the design that God has for all of us. He desires all of us to enjoy this forever and forever and forever. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then the second thing, well, you have such a rich hope. Can you imagine how awesome this hope is? It's just not this life here, but it's also going to be a life that's going to be glorified throughout all of eternity in the future. Don't hold it to yourself. Share it to somebody else. Because I'll tell you what, we have the words of life, and it's Jesus Christ who died for our sins, was raised again the third day, and ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then one day we will be raised again in that great day. What rich hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time we're able to go into your word and to be able to see the things that lay ahead for us. We are so, so grateful for the eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. I pray that this has encouraged the saints. I pray that it will convict those that have not Christ. Father, that they will realize their desperate need today. And if you have opened up their understanding, Father, I pray that they even will turn and say, Lord, forgive me. Today I need this salvation that Jesus Christ provides. And they'll place their trust in Him. May we rejoice in everything you've done. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.